programs that support Black and Brown communities, women of color, disabled folks, the LGBTQ community. There's very few services for them as is, let alone free, where people walk away with real tangible skills to help interrupt the cycle of violence and empower themselves to feel safe in the space that they take up. And so if that is something that you feel strongly about, and either way, voice that opinion to your commissioners, because they are the ones who ultimately will be making the vote. So that's Commissioner Gonzalez, Commissioner Rubio, Commissioner Ryan, Commissioner Mapps, or Mayor Wheeler.
Thank you so much for being with us, Tony.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
That was Tony Fujiwara, the youth coordinator for Rose City Self-Defense. We talked about the resources the program has to offer to Portland's most vulnerable and historically underserved community members. Portland City government has plans to stop funding the program due to budget cuts. More information on Rose City Self-Defense can be found online at rosecityselfdefense.org. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Birdie.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio couldn't do it without you. Support KBOO by becoming a member during our spring membership drive. It's taking place now through May 25th. Your contribution goes toward postmodern avant-garde alternative radio. Donate now by heading over to kboo.fm/give. Thank you.
The following program is a rebroadcast. Dates, times, and events mentioned in the following program have already occurred. Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Portland.
You're listening to Rose City Native Radio, Low Res Edition. Stick with us as we play you music, throwback interviews, and more. Stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask, and we'll see you on the other side, Indian Country.
Save the river, save the seas. Save the mother and her family. How can you take what you want and say that we are free? If you put oil in the water, we won't sit quietly. And they were singing, stand up, stand up for what's right. Don't walk, don't walk silently to the night. Take my hand and we'll see us through. If you fight for me, I'll fight for you. Want and say you come in peace. If you don't open your eyes, how can you see? And we were cheering, stand up, stand up for what's right. Don't walk silently to the night. Take my hand and we'll see us through. If you fight for me, I'll fight for you.
What is Disco Powwow?
Buffy St. Marie.
Buffy St. Marie, you're right. Disco Powwow is the kind of music that she, I guess it's fair to say, has invented and is presenting right now on 90 Minutes Live. Would you welcome her, please? Buffy St. Marie.
He's a power.
Buffy St. Marie with Fancy Dancer. Before that, Ray Zaragoza with Fight For You. And starting off the show was Flying Down Under and Rise Ashen with Listen to the Birds. We will now be listening to Running for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, which is a TEDx Youth Seattle talk by Rosalie Fish. Enjoy.
In May 2019, I qualified for Washington State Championships in track and field and dedicated my four races to the missing and murdered Indigenous women epidemic. To me, highlighting this issue was not a political stance or a personal demonstration, but rather a means of survival. We ask Eskechad, Rosalie Fish Sitsta, Bakushidapshad. Hello, my name is Rosalie Fish, and I just introduced myself in my traditional Hulshootseed language. I am from the Kalitz and Muckleshoot tribes. I am honored to be able to speak with you all today. What brings me here, unfortunately, is an epidemic. Indigenous women and girls across the nation are intensely vulnerable to violence, so much so that murder is the third leading cause of death in Native women. In Native communities, we all have someone. An aunt, mother, sister, or daughter. We all have a relative affected by this. And I wear red today in remembrance of our stolen sisters. Native girls are critically affected by lack of visibility by the dominant culture and lack of action to protect them. If you are American Indian or Alaskan Native, which I will refer to as Native or Indigenous, or if you come from a community like mine, the following will not be new information. For the rest, please look around you and find five women. Consider them a represented sample of these Native communities. And then think of them as your very own immediate or extended, wonderfully imperfect family. I see your families as wise, beautiful, diverse, broken, and brave. Now, consider this. According to the National Congress of American Indians, as Native women, they will experience higher rates of violence, experience violence more commonly at the hands of non-Native perpetrators, and as victims of violence, be less likely to receive needed services. Specifically, the data tells us what no one wants to hear. Of the five, four will have experienced violence within their lifetimes, and they are 1.7 times more likely than a white woman to have experienced violence in the past year. More than half will have experienced sexual violence within their lifetimes, and they will face murder rates more than 10 times the national average in some counties. The Urban Indian Health Institute, based in Seattle, brings our stories to the light of day. Their 2018 report, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls, describes how missing and murdered Indigenous women disappear through the cracks not once, but three times, in life, in media, and in data. Of their 506 unique cases identified across 71 urban cities in the United States, more than half of the cases were murder cases. 135 cases included victims aged 18 or under. 42 cases were related to domestic violence, and 29 is the median age of victims, with the youngest victim being an infant, less than 1 year old, and the oldest victim being an elder of 83. I grew up watching community members disappear. It was only a few years ago when I discovered that this is happening across the country. The absence of Native American representation in Congress contributes to the erasure of Indigenous women. Some legal practices are in place. The Special Domestic Violence Criminal Jurisdiction allows for the prosecution of non-Native offenders by tribal associations if the crime included domestic violence, dating violence, or criminal violation of protection orders. This may bring relief to some, but the law does not cover sexual assault, stalking, or sex trafficking. This means that Native American women who live in urban areas and experience sexual assault are not protected by these amendments. A suspect cannot be convicted unless the victim is Native, the offense occurred on tribal lands, and if the tribe can provide a defendant and diverse jury for the trial. 71% of Native people live in urban settings. Who is protecting them? In January 2019, Deb Halland from New Mexico was elected as one of the first Native American women to serve in Congress. Her work as a co-sponsor on the Violence Against Women Reauthorization Act of 2019 means that Indigenous women will not be left unprotected, forgotten, or invisible. You have heard about the multitude of women who make up this epidemic. The long-lasting effect, though, is felt by Native children. When mothers, grandmothers, and female caretakers vanish, children are left without the adults they need in their lives. This issue compounds in communities with high rates of single mother households, like the Pascua-Yaqui Reservation in Arizona, where 43% of households account for single mothers. Add the intersection of LGBTQ, low income, or children with disabilities, and you can quickly see how the disadvantages are stacked against them. This issue is impacting families who already have difficult lives. In the words of LaDonna Brapel Allard, we are a people of trauma. To acknowledge a Native child is to empower them. To acknowledge Native youth is to stop erasing them. My story illustrates how Native children can fall through the cracks. I first experienced racism in elementary school when I was teased for wearing my moccasins. The older I got, the more I was mocked for representing my culture and my heritage. I then only embraced my cultural practices on the reservation, and I tried to blend in when I was at school. I entered ninth grade as most 14-year-olds do. I was insecure, passive, and looking for direction. I was uncomfortable with my sexual orientation and my place in social settings. I was sexually harassed by upperclassmen who evidently faced no consequences for photographing, catcalling, pinching, and grabbing young girls like me. Without help, I found it increasingly difficult to find any joy in my life. I began to misuse antidepressants and fall behind in school. At 14 years old, I decided that my life was no longer worth living. I attempted to take my own life on February 9th, 2016. In the 1964 Olympics, Native American Billy Mills shocked the world and came from behind to win the gold medal in the 10K race. Since then, he has dedicated his life to serving American Indian communities. He once said, "Your life is a gift from the Creator. Your gift back to the Creator is what you do with your life." It was not always easy to view my life as a gift. Sometimes it felt impossible. I was fortunate enough to survive my attempt, and I spent my 15th birthday celebrating my partial recovery with family. I then enrolled at Muckleshoot Tribal School. At Tribal School, running became part of my recovery. Running empowered me and made me feel valuable. When I ran at Muckleshoot, I ran to represent my community. When I arrived at track meets in a tribal school uniform, I was perceived by rivaling schools as a joke. Despite my qualifying times, I would be excluded from larger invitational meets due to my school size. I had been asked if I even owned a uniform. During a home sporting event, a rival school had put graffiti in our bathroom. Offensive slurs, such as Indian Savage, were plastered on the stalls. It became apparent to me that I can't protect Muckleshoot Tribal School youth from the racism and prejudice of others. I can, however, prove these biases wrong through example. The best way I could do so was through running. Training on my own could be isolating and discouraging, but I wasn't working for just myself. The more work I put into practice, the better I performed at meets, and therefore, the better I could represent my community and challenge the prejudice I faced from bigger schools. Through running, I could demand acknowledgement. It empowered me and saved my life. Even when I began to slip through the cracks, my running would find me and bring me back. Because of running, I now attend college at Iowa Central Community College in Fort Dodge, Iowa. I did not always know how to use my voice, and running gave me a powerful nonverbal platform. Jordan Marie Daniel from the Lakota tribe ran in the 2019 Boston Marathon with a red handprint as a way to use her running platform to raise awareness for the missing and murdered Indigenous women epidemic. When I saw the photo of Jordan in her uniform, I felt powerful. I felt like I wasn't alone anymore. I found her contact information and I asked her permission to follow in her footsteps and to raise awareness for my stolen relatives at my state track meet. She was beyond enthusiastic and supported me like a mentor. She's since then guided me. At the time, I was running track and field at Muckleshoot Tribal High School. I qualified for state championships, and I dedicated each of my races to a missing or murdered Indigenous woman in my community. I asked permission from the families, and then created a photo with a poster board and their stories, and put it by the race results so that spectators would need to see that my relatives are real, that this epidemic is real, and it's happening across the country. I painted a red handprint over my mouth as a way to represent the Indigenous women that have been silenced through violence, along with the letters MMIW down my right leg. After I received each medal, I brought it to the poster display, where I gifted it to one of the women I was representing. I won the 1600 from my aunt, Alice Looney, who went missing in 2004 from Wapato and was found deceased 15 months later. The police had no answers for my family. I won the 800 for Jackie Salyers from the Puyallup tribe, who was pregnant at the time of her death. Tacoma police shot her as they were attempting to arrest her boyfriend. She was a mother of four. The officer was never held accountable after being cleared by a review board of his own peers. I won the 3200 for Renee Davis, a member of my Muckleshoot community. Renee and her unborn son, Mossy Molina, were shot and killed by Auburn police during a welfare check with her other two children present. I dedicated my sportsmanship medal to Mossy. I placed second in the 400 for Misty Upham, a member of the Blackfeet Nation and a successful actress who was invited to the Golden Globes for her performance in Frozen River. Misty was found deceased in the bottom of a ravine by my reservation after Auburn police did not look for her and then mislabeled her death as a suicide. Acknowledgement is power. Native youth across the nation have the ability to use individualized platforms to share their messages and their stories. Indigenous women and girls across the nation are intensely vulnerable. Their self-image is distorted, and in the worst cases, they are no longer here. They are our sisters, our mothers, our daughters, and our aunts. As I improved after my suicide attempt, I found a greater and new appreciation for life. Running for missing and murdered Indigenous women made me feel like I was finally doing something bigger than myself. Some of us are more visible than others. Indigenous women need the larger communities to hold the legislature accountable to combat this epidemic. Allies can use their power and visibility to advocate for change. Each of us have a platform. Mine is running, and through platforms such as athletics, art, and music, we have the ability to speak for those who have been silenced. And I am ready to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Alanis Obomsawin with O'Donna, and before that, Woman by Christy Lane Sinclair. It's now time for Native Poetry Corner, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the soothing tones of a Native poet today. We have, what do we have for you today? We have Sophie Major with Cultureless Indigenous for today's Native Poetry Corner. We got music and more coming up. Stay tuned, and we hope you're having a good day.
She's a cultureless indigenous, looking for her tribe song in dive bars, betting homelands on stat cards. Smog reminds her of moonlight, a time when she had now lost words, nothing left to describe her worth. I ask her what she's looking for. We only stay in this broken place to remember things assimilation can't erase. No small town dreams of making enough money to leave. We live here. Reflections in the highway puddle. This is where she finds inspiration and stress relief. Old notes ragged from the tumble dry, struggling mothers while men cry. We enjoy the last beer like it's the last rain, the sounds of old coins drumming the tin. And we never forget to eat before we call our husbands in. Even with the same red lights and horns every day, we live like the seasons. Sometimes I melt with the tin roof, but the floor's too thick to let me wash away. I asked her how she got here. Instead, she told me why. This is the land reclaimed by the lost man. Their hands fall to fists with no words left to describe what they miss. These streets are only red because everyone's finger painting. I'm trying to figure out how they got here and why their song's so dead. In their quest for rediscovering remembrance, they overturned our last rock. Still, when we cry, it's for them. Her forte is madmen and listening, sucking ink stains out of tarnished wings, drowning out chainsaw rings. She's a cultureless indigenous, looking for her tribe song in dive bars, betting homelands on stat cards.
Native people didn't become U.S. citizens until 1924.
Don't I remember where you came? dotine, wedju kem dotine, eli bewade gizi hulinug, yed skitskamik. Thank you.
brothers and sisters, I love no more. Together, brothers and sisters, I love no more.
Thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Finishing off the show was Jeremy Dutcher with Honor Song, Ulali with I Carry You With Me, Tanya Tagok with Caribou, and finally Pura with Idle No More. You can find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio. For music, events, and more, you can email all those wonderful things to pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. I hope everybody is staying safe out there. Our love goes out to the Navajo Nation at this time. We know y'all are going through a hard time right now, thinking of you and sending smoke up your way. And we hope everyone stays safe. Wash your hands, wear a mask, and as always, we will see you next week, Indian Country.
The preceding program was produced at KABU Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. More audio can be found online at kboo.fm.
Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KABU Community Radio couldn't do it without you. Support KABU by becoming a